Welcome to the San Antonio Report, brought to you by OWL Radio, a community service of the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Laura Rodriguez, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the San Antonio Report. The first article is entitled, Artful Stable Hall opens Saturday at the Pearl as San Antonio's newest music venue, written by Nicholas Frank. If Stable Hall fulfills the vision of music promoter Brant Wood, San Antonio will have a venue on the level of such vaunted institutions as the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, the Beacon Theater in New York, or the Preservation Hall in New Orleans. Such a goal is not unwarranted, Wood said. He described San Antonio as a star city with a growing music suave population that can attract the attention of booking agents and music acts that might otherwise pass over the city. The adventure begins Saturday when the city's newest music venue, located at the Pearl, opens to the public with a celebratory free admission show featuring Memphis singer-songwriter Rob Baird and opener Angel White, a Dallas-based singer-songwriter. Wood's staunch belief in Stable Hall's potential is reflected in the care and attention of detail in revamping the 130-year-old building that most recently served as the Pearl's events venue. One example is an 1890 church piano purchased in New Orleans, comfortably ensconced at stage right. We bought it because it's the same vintage as the building, Wood said, who he led the venue's redesign. A large framed painting of a majestic draft horse greeting attendees in the hall's entrance lobby might look of a similar vintage, but was created by San Antonio painter Lloyd Walsh. Walsh, who Wood described as Stable Hall's house artist, also christened the stage with musicians from local band, the Inns and Outlaws. During a Tuesday private performance for the Stable Hall friends and family. Another standout feature of the renovated hall is a large-scale three-part mural by New York artist Dean Barger that bookends the stage and provides a graceful stage backdrop. The painting depicts a misty, wooded parkland with earth tone hues matching the venue's walls, painted in a deep green tone called chimichurri with green-black trim. The restrained ambience of the space is meant to respect the character of that 1894 building, Wood said. The room's been built for versatility and personality, with an artful touch, but still being austere. However, anyone who has visited Stable Hall in the past might not recognize the space once they get inside. The stage has been reoriented to face the main entrance and stretches expansively across the narrow part of the building's distinctive oval shape. Balcony seating feels unusually close to the stage, and two box seating sections, Wood calls the east and west, hay lofts, offer nearly overhead views of the stage. Aesthetics was only one point of Wood's close attention to the venue redesign, recognizing that acoustics are critical to how audiences receive the music. Wood said he and his team had an acoustician dial in the room sonically and mathematically, down to the degree of balancing a 50 millisecond delay for music to travel from the stage speakers to the back of the room. Newly hired general manager Libby Day was brought in to pay such close attention to all the other key details of venue operations, from offering affordable cocktails like the rum-based Panama and the gin-based Hounds of Winter to make sure touring and local acts have the comfort and resources they need in their respective green rooms, the industry terms for musicians' private backstage spaces. Quote, in my experience doing this my whole life, end of quote, said Wood, the band's performance of kind gets elevated when they feel really taken care of. An elevated performance can elevate the audience's experience, and the combination of satisfied bands and fans can build the venue's reputation. Day's long experience in San Antonio music scene, including her recent tenure as Director of Communications for the San Antonio Parks Foundation, promoting park concerts, and 4 years as marketing manager for the Aztec Theater, have prepared her to advocate for including local groups in the Stable Hall schedule, both as feature acts and in support of touring acts. That's a huge part of creating new and more opportunities for the artists that are here now and that have been here, and they are hungry for those opportunities. Wood and his compatriots at Dallas-based music promoters Woodhouse have been busily building a multi-genre schedule of musical acts with a healthy dose of local bands mixed in with national touring acts. The first 2 months alone feature such San Antonio acts as hip-hop artists Brooklyn Michelle and Wes Denzel on January 18th, Mariachi Damsel de Jalisco and Mariachi Las Coronelas on January 19th, Buttercup and Garrett T. Caps and NASA Country on January 25th, Los Tex-Maniacs with Flaco Jimenez and Augie Myers on January 27th, Piñata Protest, Bombasta and Mech Step on February 2nd, and Flaco's young brother Santiago Jimenez Jr. on February 22nd. A VIP preview evening on Thursday featured Texas acts Rosie Flores, Emily Gimbel, the Texases, and the Charlie Watts. Travis Bufkin, a longtime San Antonio musician who sings with the Charlie Watts and performs as Travis Texas for the Texases, said that as a working musician, he supports the addition of a new venue to San Antonio's musical landscape. I am all for as many things as we can get, as long as we can sustain it and nobody goes out of business. The more, the merrier, Bufkin said. And as a local familiar with many hard-working local musicians, he echoed Day's advocacy, saying, I just want to see more local acts getting on shows with big acts. Wood has vast experience booking hands in venues throughout Texas and said Woodhouse's goal is to respect the history and reputations of venues such as the similarly sized Paper Tiger and Aztec Theater, the Lonesome Rose and Sam's Burger Joint, and longstanding John T. Floor's Country Store in Helotes. But Wood said, if Stable Hall succeeds, it will help all of San Antonio. We are going to be respectful and humble, but be aggressive in positioning this room as something that can drive more traffic to the market overall. He cited booking popular national acts Portugal, The Man, February 9th, and a two-night stint with Black Pumas, February 16th and 17th, as examples of Stable Hall's potential. But beyond the economics, honoring the Pearl's historic context and the experience of musicians and audiences is primary, they say. Ultimately, we talked a lot about being stewards for the building and stewards of the heritage. But really, we are just stewards of a good time, they said. The next article is entitled, Gurwitz Piano Competition Offers 10 Days of Virtuoso Performances, written by Nicholas Frank. The 1960 Miles Davis album, Sketches of Spain, made a big impression in San Antonio musician and composer Aaron Prado, who as a youth was focused on learning classical piano. His jazz bassist father, George Prado, who played the groundbreaking Genre Crossing album during one of their regular father-son chess matches, and Davis's artistry showed the young pianist and fledgling composer that jazz can be as eloquent and complex as classical music. Aaron Prado brings that breakthrough moment to fruition through his latest chamber music composition entitled The Hummingbird and the Marigold, to be showcased during the Quadrennial Gurwitz International Piano Competition running January 26th through February 4th at various locations around San Antonio. 12 international competitors will perform January 27th through the 28th. 6 will remain for the competition's second round on January 30th, and 3 finalists will compete in the third and fourth rounds for a first prize of $30,000. The second place finisher wins $20,000, and the third place earns $10,000. For the third round of the Gurwitz competition, the three finalists will perform Prado's virtuosic composition as a homage to an Aztec myth of love and transformation. The piece showcases Prado's fascination with rhythms of Latin America, from Mexican ranchera to Cuban montuno, Argentine tango, and Brazilian samba. Prado said that among other compelling aspects of the 10-day competition, hearing three different interpretations of the same piece of music will offer Gurwitz jurors and the audience insight into the pianist's talents and artistry. A 2-minute open cadenza near the end of the piece will offer each a chance to improvise, further differentiating their individual styles. And for Prado to hear his piece performed live for the first time, with real people breathing life into it, is just about the most thrilling thing for a composer. He is really stoked. That 12 competitors were selected from a preliminary round of 76 entrants, and they will arrive from China, Taiwan, Russia, Germany, and other locations in the United States. Each will kick off the competition on January 27th and 28th in the Diane Bannack Concert Hall at the University of the Incarnate Word, with 50-minute recitals featuring music of their choice. 6 semifinalists will progress to the second round on January 30th at the same location to perform 50-minute recitals of a Latin or Spanish work and a select piece from their home culture. The competition takes a star turn January 31st with a majestic theater concert by Dionne Warwick, Gurwitz 2024 Honorary Chair and 2023 Kennedy Center Honoree. Prado's competition will be featured by the three finalists at the Carver Community Cultural Center's Joe Long Theater on February 1st, and the competition wraps up February 3rd in the HEB Performance Hall of the Tobin Center for the Performing Arts. Finalists will perform conciertos with the visiting Mexico City Philharmonic Orchestra, led by conductor Scott Yeo, host of the PBS music program Now Hear This, who will also chair the competition jury. A break between the competition's third and fourth rounds on February 2nd will feature a solo jazz piano concert with Spanish composer Marta Sanchez in the Coates Chapel of UTSA's Southwest Campus downtown. All competitive rounds in Sanchez's concerts are free events with registration on the website of Musical Bridges Around the World, the parent organization of the Gerwitz competition. Further information on all Gerwitz events, including the January 26th grand opening and February 4th awards brunch, is also available on that website. Sual Arastu, Advancement Director for Musical Bridges, said that 2024 Gerwitz highlights many of the Latin American cultures present in San Antonio and showcases the city's strong bicultural ties with Mexico City. While locals can attend any of the full schedule of events, anyone can access the competition via live stream, which Musical Bridges pioneered for the 2020 Gerwitz competition just before the coronavirus pandemic made live-streamed events a commonality. Arastu said that of all the events, the fourth round finale is not to be missed. How often do you get to go to the Tobin for free? How often does the entire Mexico City Philharmonic play for you? And you're going to have the cream de la cream, the three finalists of the competition playing that night. Prado said all rounds of the competition offer the opportunity to hear incredible performance at the highest level, and said last year's round was incredible. Everybody sounded like a polished, finished artist, and I was just blown away by the level of the competition. Prado acknowledged the Gerwitz origins as the San Antonio International Piano Competition, founded in 1983 by Richard Ferguson and Ruth Jean Gerwitz, for whom the competition is named. We need to be thankful for all of the folks who have worked on this over the many decades that it's been active, said Musical Bridges. Has taken to a whole other level. It's getting to be recognized as on par with Van Cliburn International Piano Competition and some of the other great piano competitions in the world. The next article is entitled, McCombs Family Buys Ground Lease for Downtown Hotel Used as Homeless Shelter, written by Richard Webner. The McCombs family has bought out the ground lease for a former Holiday Inn downtown that now serves as a homeless shelter, giving it control of the hotel that the late patriarch B.J. Red McCombs helped build in preparation for Hemisphere 68. The family had already owned the 4.5 acres the hotel sits on at 318 West Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard in partnership with local families that helped finance the hotel in 1967, said Joe Shields, executive vice president of McCombs Enterprises, the family's investment arm. It decided to buy out the lease after the former tenant, an entity linked with the San Diego Hotelier Pacifica Companies, struck a deal with the city of San Antonio in October to sublease it for uses as a shelter, he said. He described that deal, which drew protests from the operators of a child care center across the street, as being one of many factors leading the family to buy the lease, in essence gaining control of the 313-room, 158,000-square-foot hotel building. Asked whether the family was unhappy with the deal, he said, no, not yes. We wanted to gain control in what happens in the property going forward. Obviously, we're very familiar with the property and with downtown San Antonio generally. We are believers in the growth and future of San Antonio and believe, just like my grandfather did in 1967, that it takes risks and investment to continue to develop and improve, he said. The family doesn't have plans for the site and hasn't discussed whether it will continue the sublease it has to the city when the agreement expires. He declined to disclose how much McCombs Enterprise paid for the ground lease. The purchase comes as the McCombs family is stepping up its investment downtown with plans to convert the landmark Tower Life building into residences and to build a massive mixed-use development on land it bought last year next to the San Antonio Museum of Art. Quote, I think at some point in time it's going to make sense for us to do something on this property, but we truly and honestly have zero plans for what that could be in the future. But we want to get control of it while we have the opportunity, Shields said of the former Holiday Inn. The former tenant was a partnership named P. Host San Antonio. State corporate filings and Bexar County property records show that the partnership is managed by an entity named PAC San Antonio Hospitality, which shares an address and executives with Pacifica Companies, an operator of hotels, resorts, and apartment complexes across the U.S. A call to DPAC is Ronnie, the company's president and managing partner, was not returned. In October, City Council voted to let the city enter a lease agreement with P. Host, paying it $8.8 million to use the hotel as a low-barrier homeless shelter, meaning that residents aren't required to be sober to stay there until October of 2025, with options for 2 one-year renewals. The city will also pay SAM Ministries $7.1 million to run the shelter. The building had operated as a shelter at the peak of the COVID pandemic. In November, the McCombs family bought the shares of some of the co-owners of the land the hotel sits on, property records show. And Shields called this consolidation of the ownership group, but said the family still has land partners. At 4.5 acres, the hotel property is unusually large for downtown. It sits just east of the crossing of Cesar E. Chavez with Interstate 35, a block from a future path of the San Pedro Creek Culture Park, and 2 blocks from HEB's Arsenal headquarters. With rumors that local leaders are looking to build a new baseball stadium or Spurs Arena downtown, Shields said that hasn't been on the family's mind for the site. Last month, the Spurs announced that the McCombs family had joined its investment group, the third time the family had invested in the team since 1973, when Red McCombs was instrumental in moving the Dallas Chaparrals to San Antonio and renaming them the Spurs. He died last year at the age of 95. The family has made major investments in the downtown area in recent years. In 2022, it partnered with the real estate investors John Wingan and Ed Cross to buy the historic Tower Life building, one of the most recognizable parts of the San Antonio skyline. They later unveiled plans to remake the building with condominiums and apartments. McCombs Enterprises is now working to develop a 5.9-acre plot of land it bought early last year from CPS Energy in North Downtown, next to the San Antonio Museum of Art. It has submitted plans to the city to build a 70,000-square-foot office building, a 146-room hotel, and two apartment buildings rising to 6 and 13 stories, according to the San Antonio Express News. Shields said that project is still in the pre-development phase, and the family is contemplating what the right team to build to develop the property looks like. Quote, "We are still very early in the stages of figuring out how to move forward. We are still committed to our original vision, which was to create a catalytic mixed-use development, but we are just too early in the stages to release any plans now." Thank you for listening to today's San Antonio Report. If you have questions or comments about the program, please call us at 210-829-4223. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Laura Rodriguez saying goodbye from Owl Radio.